week's episode of Division, we are back talking about premieres, season premieres, and series premieres. If this episode really had a title, it'd be called Premiere Week, because that's pretty much what we're doing, just talking about premieres, old hits, new favorites. So if you're wondering what shows you should check out or stay away from, then please stay tuned.
Throw away your television, take the noose off your ambition.
Hello and welcome everybody to another exciting episode of the Television Division. I am your host and showrunner, Arthur Robinson, and as always, with me is my co-host.
You're right there?
Oh, yeah.
You okay?
No, I'm fine. I'm alive. And how do I do this worse every week? It's like pretty soon it's going to be like, anyway, we're back, and we're here talking about the craziness of Premiere Week, everything that came out. For people who are just listening for the first time, for everything we do between our last podcast, sort of the window in which of the shows we talk about. So we're actually extending the Premiere Week stuff to talk about, you know, Terra Nova, which just came out,
right.
A few other shows as well. So let's just get to it, because a lot of shit came out this week.
Tons of stuff.
And we saw a lot of it.
Yeah. I think between both of us, we covered all of television.
Everything we covered.
I think so. I'm pretty sure we covered almost all of television. You know, aside from, you know, Grey's Anatomy and NCIS. You know.
So we'll just you know what we'll do? We'll just do it in days. We'll just go. How's the week? Like, I guess the week officially starts from Sunday to.
Sunday, Monday, happy days.
Yes. I guess we'll start there. So Sunday, the show came out called Boardwalk Empire Season 2, and it just blew my mind. So let's just start the game off right.
Yeah, like so yeah, Boardwalk, you know, I'm trying to remember, you know what I should have done, and I do this almost every other time, and I didn't, because it was such a rush to watch it, was I usually like to watch the last episode from, you know, the final episode of the previous season. Mm-hmm. So you kind of like refresh your memory. Even though Boardwalk did a good, I don't know, what do you say, 45-second minute kind of highlight, kind of what happened, you know, a little quick flashback.
The recaps.
Yeah, the little recap. It was really fast, but it sufficed, I think.
I mean, that's the hope, or else we'll do it.
Yeah. Right, because I'm going, hey, wait, why did they show that? But so we're on Boardwalk, we're up with, you know, Jimmy has reconciled with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? His dad.
Yeah, his dad. It doesn't matter. Okay.
Played by Dabney Coleman.
The Commodore.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's kind of reconciled with his dad, and him and his dad are now planning, to take back Atlantic City, right? So Jimmy can run it. So it'd be Jimmy's. And you got Nuck still with Funny Face. What's her name?
Margaret.
Yeah, Margaret. Jeez, wow. They're living together. So he's kind of still doing his thing of, you know, running Atlantic City.
As much as he can. Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing that's interesting about this particular episode, and I guess what's going to go throughout the series, is the whole, when the Klan shows up to attack Chalky in his warehouse.
Right.
And it was like, what? Wait. It was disconcerting to me to see the Klan with a minigun shooting up this liquor place.
They had that giant repeating, you know, basically it's like the first machine gun.
Yeah.
Almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out that the Klan was actually hired by Jimmy so he could take Chalky's booze, basically. Take his business. And basically they were there to stir up controversy between Nucky and Chalky, to cause a rift and to start shit.
Yeah, and it clearly worked. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, just remembering it in my head, just going like, I mean, the scene where where Nucky has to do these two different things, where like he has to go to the black community and kind of cool their nerves, but at the same time go to like the white organization, right, and go like, "Oh, those people, they need to go now." I'm like, what?
Right. Like not make this a colored situation or something like that. Right?
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, you know, he's definitely, you know, he is the true politician, you know, pandering to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So he always looks like the man they can go to quell the situation, so to say. And you know, it was more, I forget all the characters' names, but I just...
Well, there's like 75 people on the show.
I know, but you know, the FBI agent, he, Van Alden, he's kind of making up for his misdeeds in the final episodes of last season. He's with his, you know, very religious wife, and he has to show that he's actually by the book Bible man, doing the right thing, where we all know he's kind of not, you know.
I mean, he's trying to make up for it, but I don't. It doesn't work. It doesn't really work for me. I mean,
right.
I did like his two conjoining scenes with like the raid,
right,
and then,
right,
and then his wife is a little bit turned on.
Oh yeah, she gets real hot for that.
Yeah, but it's so funny too. I mean, the cut to where like you think they're like having like crazy sex, and it's just like, no, he's just adjusting the bed. And then it's more of like a civil kind of union afterwards. It's just it was just like black comedy for this character. Like, I didn't really expect Van Alden to the scene with Van Alden to be kind of humorous, and the like,
right,
like despite what is going on with his character and what's going on with Lucy and them, they still thought.
And you know, his relationship with his wife is so weird. It's almost like they're on their first date all the time.
They're so, you know, chaste. I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's always like very cordial and very. It's like he doesn't want to piss her off, so she'll come back out for a second date. But then when she comes back out for the second date, it's still the first date.
Yeah,
you know, like,
it's. I don't know. I don't. I'm like, it's weird how I guess it's their religious background or something, but it's like, we're only gonna keep doing the same thing all the time, forever, right, and ever, until we both die.
I mean, I guess you know, because they can't have kids, so.
No, I just meant like their patterns and their it seems like that date they've been having that date for years. Like, that,
right.
I mean, even if it's even though it's their anniversary, and I guess I think that's why he did that and kind of arranged that sort of situation.
Sure.
But it's still like it just like that is like a window into their life, that little moment. And I did like how he kind of pushed her away from like, please don't move out here, and trying to, like, it was kind of funny. Like he did.
Because he kind of knew she wasn't gonna move out there anyways,
mm-hmm,
for her, you know, religious reasons. But she wasn't gonna move out there. Well, he definitely doesn't want her moving out there because now he's gotta hide the kid hide his mistress. You know,
he's gotta hide Lucy too. So.
And that was one of the things. What did you read into the money, giving her the money? How did you take it? You know, the money he gave to Lucy.
I don't know if it was like something I'm supposed to do, like when he withheld the money that Jimmy was giving his wife, and it's like, oh, that's how you do that. Like, I have to. I mean, that is my son, so I have to take care of them from some form. Or maybe it was just like I'm going through the motions or something. Like, I felt like he was obligated. Either by either his morality or his religious background would make him do something.
You didn't see that as like hush money? I kind of saw that as hush money more so than I have to take care of her because she has my kid.
That could be. I mean, I'm not saying it's not. It felt more like he's doing this because he has to do it. I mean, based on his own background, more than like, shut up, don't. I mean, he still was hiding her and all that stuff too. But I felt like if he didn't want her to talk, there's other ways to do it besides money. I felt like his power and his position, because I think I don't know where she's at, but she's obviously secluded, and he probably gave her the speech where like, you ain't going nowhere, honey.
Right. I don't know. I figured it's either hush money or like abortion money. But she looked maybe a little too far along for abortion anyways.
Yeah,
but
I mean
then, but then again it's, you know, 19 whatever, you know. So
oh, he wouldn't have it anyway. He wouldn't have
right.
it. Yeah.
Right. But still, it was very interesting. I was like, that's probably hush money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he obviously used the money from the raid
yeah.
to pay her off. Yeah,
of course. So,
I mean, it's...
Yeah, there,
it's
bad stuff.
Right, he's still doing bad stuff. And, you know, this sets it up for the whole... This whole season. It kind of, you know, they kind of just threw you back into it. Just... You never left. This is what's happening.
Yeah, I mean that's the interesting thing. Like the story structure or the storytelling method, as it were, is not changed. It's just more characters. Like I think they're trying to fix Van Alden because Van Alden was a crazy character from last year, and
right.
they realize that Michael Kenneth Williams is awesome. They just finally realized that, so they're pumping up Chalky White. Like Chalky White pretty much gets like the first scene.
Yeah. So he's going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
Which is good, because we like Michael Kenneth Williams.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that takes care of that show. I mean, do you watch any other Sunday shows? What else came out on Sundays?
Can't talk about Breaking Bad, because we got to wait for you to catch up on that.
Right, yeah, I do.
I feel like I've outgrown whatever Fox does for their Sunday night lineup. I don't know.
Right.
So, like, I look at that and go, like, no, so, like, and then ABC, no. But CBS, they know how to kick the night off right with their Amazing Race.
That's why it's called Amazing Race.
Because it's so damn amazing.
Because it's amazing.
Yes.
Like, you can't beat it. So
that's
you know.
Back. I'm a little pissed that was only 1 hour, not 2 hours, like I expected it would be, but
right.
it still gave me a taste.
I mean, I don't know. I'm full in it. You know what I mean? I'm more upset over the teams.
Oh yeah, because we talked about this last time. So
yeah, I am super upset over the teams, and even more so now that I actually, you know, saw some of the background of some of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have the Survivor team, and you even saw on the show, good thing to note, that this Survivor team, both of the couple, the male and the female, have won Survivor. They both won $1 million, or, you know, after taxes, that's about $650,000, or whatever. But they both won Survivor. They all both got the notoriety. They probably got a speaking tour and some whatever deals, you know.
Well, no, the best thing about all this, they think they can hide. They think, like, oh, they're not going to know who
right.
we are.
Right, yeah, well, we're not going to tell them we're from Survivor. Cut to, hey, that dude's from Survivor.
Well, it's not even that. It's like, do you not, like, you think these guys don't watch other reality shows?
Right.
It's not, Amazing Race is the only show I watch.
I mean, it's ridiculous how people in this day and age go, I just won't tell them because they might not, you know, they might not know who I am. It's like, listen, most of the people who were the, you know, maybe not the older ones, but the younger to the mid-range, the middle-aged people, they have seen some sort of reality show, you know, whether it be just the basic Real World or it's a competition or, you know, whatever. They've seen a reality show and they've heard something about it. They probably looked it up and seen past winners. And, you know, some of the younger people, on the show, and there are a couple of teams that are a bit younger, have probably watched some of these shows from the get-go.
Yeah, pretty much from the moment they're born or something like
from
that.
From season one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching season one of Survivor. Now, I haven't watched every other Survivor ever because I got kind of bored after a while, but,
mm-hmm.
like, I remember when it first came out in, like, what, 2000 or 2001, something
yeah.
like that. I remember watching it. So, and everyone going, oh, this is crazy. So, to think that, you know, even after being a winner, to think that, you know, no one's going to know who you are, completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, and as a loose tangent from that, there's supposedly this kid on Survivor who's a big fan of Survivor, and he's watched, like, all the episodes.
Right.
And trying to use that for this show, I feel like, why wouldn't you watch all the episodes and get your hands on as many episodes as possible so then you can contribute? Like game film, and you'd be like, oh, this team did that? Well, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm holding on my passport with dear life. I'm actually super gluing it to my hand, so I'll never lose it. And then it cuts to, like, one couple who lost their passport in, like, the first 2 hours of the show.
Right, the girls from Vegas. Yeah, that's a good team. Okay, they're like showgirls from Vegas. Mm-hmm. They always have to have the hot I'm out there to prove we're not dumb type of team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then the editors milk it for what it's worth, because then they cut to, you know, them losing the passport.
So going back to the teams, you have the Survivor team, you have the team of Olympic snowboarders who, I don't know if that's really their famous or anything, but I mean, they are Olympic snowboarders. You know what I mean? Like, they make a lot of money. I don't know. Like, it's another thing of, like, going out, let's get a celebrity team. I know they're not really celebrities, but in their own world, they probably are. Right?
D-list celebrities. They're like, they've done something of merit, but it's niche that...
Right. I don't really consider Olympic athletes really celebrities, because... Really, America only cares about you every 4 years. And if you're a snowboarder, the majority of Americans don't know who you are.
Yeah, it's like people only know you for like the 6 weeks that it takes. You know, like the build up, and then the event, and then the aftermath, and that's about it.
Right, that's about it. And then you got the kid who sailed around the world. He's like the youngest kid to sail around the world.
That's his claim to fame.
Yeah, that's his claim to fame. And now he's a little older, and he's doing it with his dad. That's kind of like, okay, so we have to get more of this kid, you know, like, whatever. And then there was the ex-football player.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, he used to play for the Indianapolis Colts. So it's like, okay, he's a retired athlete. He's not, I think his stats were he caught, like, I don't know, 26 touchdowns in 10 years, which isn't a lot, which makes him, I think he was a tight end. So, I mean, I guess he was okay, but I mean, he's obviously made a bunch of money. Why, you know, what? I guess I'm looking at it from the standpoint as, let the average Joe win the money. Why do these people who have had their chance or had their time in their limelight, why do they get another chance?
Exactly. No, and I completely understand that. I don't know what happened somewhere around season 10 or so, I think, when we had to get these celebrities, and I feel like, no, let's just have normal people. Like, I'm even fine with you guys doing the whole brother-sister bickering thing, family bickering thing, or the even the dating couples or whatever that you guys normally do. Like, I'll take that, because they're real people, and I don't know them, and I don't know that they can surprise me. But when you have celebrities, it's harder for me to root for those people. Because it's like, aren't you going home to money? Like, it's just like you're gonna, like, oh wow, you want a trip that you could have paid for. Fantastic.
Right. And then you got the elderly couple. Not elderly. That's me being ageist. You got the older couple. They look like to be in their, like, what, late 50s?
Well, they are 60s. Grandparents.
I think they're, like, 60s, yeah. They're probably in their 60s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you got another couple. They're, you know, Asian guy or Asian girl and a white guy. And then you have another just couple. Then you got the brother and sister. You got that. Mm-hmm. Then you have the twins. Weren't they twins?
Yes, they're twins.
Twins. And then you got the gay flight attendants. Remember them?
Yep. Can't forget.
They're partners. Yeah,
domestic
they're
partners. Yeah.
They're domestic partners. There you go. So they're all in the race, and you already touched base on it. You know, I really wanted them to be, you know, the showgirl teams when they lost their passport. Mm-hmm. I really wanted them to be out of it just because they were so stupid.
Yeah. And they lost. If you do something like that, I'm like, that's unforgivable.
Right. Right. And you know. And we already spoke on this, but like when you go into these shows, people already have the past knowledge of shows.
Yes.
So you know, like, teams lose things.
Yes.
It's happened before. So, you know, one team had to – was it Zeb and Justin from their season, not their second chance season, but from their original season, they got kicked off the show because they lost their passport, and they had to go back for it. They checked in, and they didn't have it.
Yeah. I mean, stuff like that, infamous.
Yeah. Totally. So it's ridiculous to even think that you wouldn't have that like under lock and key, you know, in your little fanny pack that they all wear.
Yeah.
You know. And the other thing I was really mad about was first leg of the race, non-elimination leg, crazy. Like, that pissed me off.
Yeah, I mean, that's where that whole taste comment comes from, because it was like, then everything was for naught. So it's just to do a non-elimination, but then to do a double elimination, just get
right.
rid of two people. Jeez.
Right. That's the crazy thing is now for the first time they're going to have a double elimination. So Bill and Kathy, the older couple who came in last, were saved, but now they're going to have to do a what's the speed bump.
Yeah.
They're going to have to do a speed bump in the next leg of the race. Which it's interesting because the host guy Phil there,
yes.
he said the new thing they were going to have was the hazard. Remember that, or what was the new thing? Was it a hazard?
Yeah, it's called a hazard. If you're like the last team
to finish a task, you get a hazard.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: what's the difference between a speed bump and a hazard?
Ooh, interesting.
I mean, the only thing I could I know I just asked you a question, then I'm going to cut you off. But
that's fine.
The only thing I could really see between the difference was a speed bump was you go somewhere, and before you complete the detour or roadblock or whatever is there, you have to first do the speed bump.
Yeah.
Whereas a hazard was you complete a task and then you have to go do another task and then get back on track.
Yeah. That's
what I mean. And so, like you have to go to a third place instead of just being right next to the other box that has the clue.
Yeah.
You have to go to an additional place along the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rather than the speed bump, you didn't have to go to an additional place. They were both right in the same place.
Yeah.
The speed bump and the next clue.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is the hazard. I don't know if they're going to continue doing this. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But the hazard just seems like something you do if you're last. It's sort of to submit the fact that you're last. But when
right.
Kehlani and Lisa did it, it was just bungee jumping. So it was like nothing, but it was something.
Right.
So,
I mean, they had to find, you know, they had to go to an additional, they had to go to a mall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then go there. And that takes time to set up.
No, I mean, obviously it hurts, but if it's just bungee jumping it's just, you're doing something. It's like they're making you do something for like, and costing you 45 minutes, so like an hour.
Right. Well, but I mean, it was a little different, because if you've ever seen the speed bumps, it's like, okay, you've completed a task. Go to the docks over at, you know, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Say they're in L.A. Go to the Long Beach docks. And so they'll go to the Long Beach docks, but then right next to the next clue box is the speed bump.
Yeah.
And then so it's like, okay, tie all these knots in a row, and you have to tie all the knots or whatever, and then go to the box, whereas a hazard was you finished the task, got the clue, and it told you to go someplace else rather than where everyone else was going.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, you had like an additional stop to go before you got back onto the regular path.
Yeah. I think that's the difference, and the other difference is I think the speed bump you actually have to it's like an extra task that you have to do before you do the task that you're supposed to be doing.
Right. They're both extra tasks. Yeah.
Well, but I think the hazard is just you do something. Like the hazard is ride this go-kart, or like I don't think it's as bad as they're making it. It's just you're forced to do something.
No, I know. I've seen speed bumps, because remember, I saw a speed bump where the guys had to go sit in a sauna for like 20 minutes.
Oh yeah,
like,
never
that was,
mind.
Like, their speed bump. They just had to like waste time.
Yeah. So maybe they might do that for the hazards now, and then make the speed bumps a additional task. They could do
right.
that.
Yeah, because most of the speed bump, I just remember seeing a speed bump where
most of the speed bumps
were like in Japan or something, and the speed bump was like they had to make a soup and then bring it to the guard who like worked down, all the way down to the other end of the dock. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to like carry it all the way down there, and then they go back on task. But I don't know. We'll see. They don't seem very different, but I think it's the addition of an extra location that makes it a little different.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
So. So, I mean, it looks like an exciting season. The teams are, I don't know, kind of even. I haven't really seen, you know, they don't seem smart. Teams don't seem smart. How about that?
I still don't know much about the people. I think that's ultimately why I always feel like the first episode needs to be 2 hours so I can really engage in it. Like, right. there's no way for me to really root for right now. I feel like they're all, like, I don't feel anybody right now, so it's going to take a couple more where I'm like, oh, that's my pick. Like, maybe the Twins.
I'm not rooting for the Survivor team. I'll tell you that.
Survivor team, the team with the NFL guy. There's people I don't want to win. Let's put it that
right. But it, it also brings me back to the point of they already have intrinsic knowledge before they got on the show. You know, when they all landed in, Taipei, mm-hmm. Taiwan, and they were like, oh, where's the clue box? Where's the clue box? We're looking for a clue box. There's always a clue box. So, like, they can't, they didn't think out, outside the box, right?
No, I like that they're getting smarter.
They're getting trickier, yeah. So
another thing I liked, and I thought it was good, I thought this, because I figured that they're the people who lost their passports, we were obviously going to get their passports, because, I mean, come on, it's the first 2 hours.
Right.
I have to get them back. But I was expecting, like, a producer sort of deus ex machina. But what was interesting, I think it was so interesting that this has to be real, was somebody finds it at the gas station, and then they get Twitter on, and then they go to the airport and bring it back to them. So that was kind of sweet.
Right. Yeah, no, that was pretty cool. Like, every once in a while, I remember last season, it was like, a buddy at work would be like, oh, look, someone took photos of the Amazing Race in, like, Australia. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, oh, they were far away pictures. But, they could see the Cowboys. That's, and they saw the Globetrotters because, where else do you see a 7'2" black guy with a 5'6" black guy wearing Globetrotter uniforms?
Playing the Washington
around.
Generals somewhere.
Right. Right. But, they all have the backpacks and... apparently, I guess I've heard stories where, they're just people following them around,
That could be possible.
Besides the camera people, obviously, but they're just, like, people following the contestants around because they know it's a show,
No, I understand, because, I feel like, how do you get those translators sometimes where, like, they're just hanging out somewhere near, remember, like, when they saw the big sign and then that guy was there to translate? Maybe he's one of those people. Who knows?
No, he's probably just walking around.
That too. I mean, happenstantial. I mean, it's either or. Like, you're not going to know, but, like, there is that possibility nowadays where with technology is rapidly exceeding.
I got to be on the show.
Yep.
So all in all, I'm really happy it's back, and I want to watch some more.
Me too, sir.
All right, Mondays.
Mondays. Did you watch Pan Am? We forgot it.
Totally forgot about Pan Am. Yes, I watched Pan Am.
And we'll put them together. We'll put
We'll
put this show and Playboy Club because essentially they're both Mad Men. So which 60s show did you prefer?
I'm kind of torn because they both had their likes and pros and cons, likes, dislikes. I kind of liked Pan Am a little better, but I think by a smidge. I watched the second episode, recording this, two episodes of Playboy Club have already aired.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liked the Playboy Club. Maybe I like the Playboy Club better.
Oh my god!
I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. It's maybe the next episode of Pan Am, to get me even at two episodes apiece, will maybe go, no, I like Pan Am better.
I was like, what was I thinking?
Right. It definitely. But I don't like this whole thing in the Pan Am. Like, that's the thing. They both have one has mobsters. The other one has spies.
Do spies always trump mobsters?
I don't know though. It's weird.
If I want mobsters, I got Boardwalk.
This is true. Both have girls running away from home.
Yes.
Right? Kind of like trying to find themselves.
Let's just make a complete compare and contrast right now.
Right, we're totally doing. They both have leading men that I feel lack in the show, or not, the show's basically about women. Both shows are about women.
They're women fronted, I understand.
Right, which I totally don't mind at all, but the men that they have is like, the counterpart,
They're cookie cutter.
They're terrible.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know.
I
like, I like pieces of Play by Clove. I like the lesbian bunny. Sounds so wrong, but I like her story. I like kind of what she's going through. I like that scene where she was taking photos of Amber Heard, just because like there was something interesting about that. Like, oh, I'm attracted to you, but I can't be attracted to you. So it's like it's one of those things that I don't see too often. I like the Black Bunny, who's pretty much doing the same thing that she did on Mad Men, but
Mad Men, yeah.
But I like her story. Like, I like aspects, but I feel like if these aspects were on Pan Am, oh my god, I would love Pan Am even more. I don't like what Eddie Cibrian. Who is Eddie Cibrian?
I couldn't tell you.
Because
I couldn't.
I felt like he's just doing Don Draper. Like, even his mannerisms, his attitude, his voice inflections, it's insane. There is a show in Playboy Club that I wish Playboy Club would do. Read and seen interviews with Amber Heard defending the show, and that's the show I want to see, but I'm not seeing it, so it's a hard show for me to actually go, like, you know what, I should watch that. Pan Am, I feel like...
Wait, what are you talking about?
No,
you just lost.
Amber Heard did an interview. She was, like, talking about sort of how this is about women's empowerment and how Play by Club, and sort of when you're placed in... Because it was the 60s and people were placed in these kind of situations where you, like, it's not really a great role or a great career or anything, but you do the best you can, and you take what you can from the slight positions of power that you're getting being a Playboy bunny and using that sexuality as a form of power. I'm obviously not doing her words justice.
No, I got you.
What she was saying, I felt like that sounds like a good show, but if it was on the page, it's not on the screen, so that's the problem. I felt that Pan Am it had better everything, to be fairly honest. Kylie Gardner, I think, who's the spy on that show. I've always liked her in her small roles in doing movies, and here I think she's actually kind of taking what she's been doing there and kind of running with it. I was actually surprised that Christina Ricci's not in the show more, but since it's an ensemble piece, I think we have to kind of hit the ground running with their big premise or big plot points, what, like the spies and what's going on with Pan Am and the secret organization and the CIA and the clandestine operations with the stewardesses and using it as a spy front, which was kind of awesome, to be fairly honest with you.
I don't know. I don't know if I like it. It's like it adds another weird.
Is it the revisionist history aspects of it, or do you think?
No, you know what? I love the flashback of each character, or the character showing you what they were doing, you know, 6 months before, 3 months before.
Yeah, it seemed like a lost movie, but I was totally down for it. Because it's like that, I mean, it's shorthand.
I don't know.
It was just flashbacks or whatever.
I hate comparing shows, you know.
We're about to do it when we get to Terra Nova, but...
I know, but it's like Lost. Well, Lost was like, you know,
well, I don't
like another show.
When I do it, it's just verbal shorthand, to be fair.
Right, I gotcha.
It's just like...
I guess every episode is going to take place on a flight.
I hope not.
I mean, I don't.
I don't want that to be the show. It's just like, right. Oh, this is episode 6. we're going to Taiwan, or we're going.
Right. Yeah, that's what it kind of seems like to me. I don't know. We'll check out episode 2, but it was definitely interesting. I don't know. I never flew Pan Am. I don't know, you know, I know...
Can we fly Pan Am? I don't think...
No, Pan Am went bankrupt in, like, 1991.
Yes.
Bought out Delta, so Pan Am does not... It only exists in name alone and not in company. But, you know, they were the face of, you know, the airline industry in the late 50s, early 60s, and 70s.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I like the show. It was interesting. Well, I want to see where it goes, though, before I'm like, yeah, Pan Am. You know what I mean? It was interesting. I liked watching it. It looked nice.
No, I mean, I definitely thought it was a strong enough pilot that conveyed I guess what the show was going to be. Like, I still don't know, two, three, whatever, but that seemed like the show for me to watch. And the production values were just great. I liked how subtle it was. I liked, because it seemed like the opposite of Playboy Club in terms of not just like the production value and the you know, visual effects and everything, which made everything look like it was the 60s, which was weird because it seemed like there's obviously money behind this. Let's just be honest, because they had outside shots and everything. Well, Play by Club, it's just mainly like in different houses and in said club.
I don't know. They were that's the thing. The thing about the Playboy Club, I think, in the the first episode and even the second episode, I think they're capturing more of the essence of the time the show took place rather than Pan Am. That's not to say Pan Am won't do that. It's hard to judge based on two shows to one, but but at least that's one thing I can say I like more about the Playboy Club is they are showing the things of the time when like the being progressive. They're bringing up the gay underground movement. They're bringing up the fact that Playboy clubs were some of the first nightclubs, bars, whatever, institutions that had like a mixed crowd. You know what I mean? It wasn't just white people. Maybe it was. I can't speak on that. But they had at least African American performers in the club. It just weren't white performers.
Yeah.
They gave an equal voice to everybody, kind of. I'm trying to think what else was that they've shown. The politics of Chicago during that decade. They're starting to touch base on. So. I think Playboy Club is a little bit more truer to the time right now, they're going to show a lot more that's encompassing of that decade, but we'll see where Pan Am goes with it because maybe Pan Am's like, oh yeah, they're right up in the conflict with whatever issues they so desire. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah,
but they're both good, and they got me watching. They got me, going to watch it more. And that's, I think, that's the big thing.
Oh, that's absolutely. I mean, just it held your interest enough for repeat viewings.
Exactly. So. And that's the biggest thing, I think.
So, Seth, did that same effect happen for the 2-hour pilot of Terra Nova?
Terra Nova. Wow. You know what? I kind of like Terra Nova, and I'm not ashamed to say it. The 2-hour premiere was actually is quite refreshing. You know what I mean? There was a lot of, there's the whole, backstory part, which I kind of liked. You know what I mean? I think you went, 45 minutes before they actually got to Terra Nova, or 30 minutes before Terra Nova, where the whole show is going to take place. You even got to, I kind of liked that. It's going to be a very interesting science fiction show. And I like how Fox has a science fiction show. But Fox was never one to stray away from science fiction anyway, so.
They also have Fringe, but who watches that?
Fringe Friday night at 9 o'clock it comes on.
Well, I'm just mentioning that they also have another sci-fi show.
That show jumped the shark about a season ago, so.
Well, this one is a little bit more mainstream with, Star Trek producers and Steven Spielberg, but
right, it's got what people like. It's
dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. No, everyone loves dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are safe, and that may, I know dinosaurs. I've seen people kill them before. So dinosaurs are a safe product. It's a jungle setting, tropical. Everyone wants to be in a tropical setting, right?
Yes.
But still having the same. I don't know, same problems, same politics as today's society, right?
I suppose, although I don't think a kid would be named Josh in 2055 or whatever time it's supposed to be. I feel like that name would have been cycled out.
Well, what would his name be? Like
Xander? I was thinking Xander.
Xander? Come on. The name is on the way up. Come on.
Xander's on the way up?
No, I don't.
I'm not saying like Vishnu or anything. I'm just saying.
Right.
Just like Josh is one of those. I don't know. It's just a simple joke.
I think the depiction of future Earth is probably, I don't know, that's a good future, you know? That's probably...
I don't think it would happen that fast, but yes, I
what,
feel
but like... What year was it supposed to be? 21 what?
21? Oh, 21, okay, that's different.
Yeah, it wasn't 20-something. I thought it was like 21-something.
You're right.
It was way in the future. Like 100 years in the future, man.
Like 100? 150, yeah. I think, to be more exact.
Yeah, so it was like 21, 2150, 2149, whatever.
It's bad.
Yeah. So it's far in the future, so who knows what is going to happen in 100 years. I don't know if it's going to be overpopulation, but, you know, whatever. What I thought was interesting, I don't know if you caught it. It was very quick. It was just a really quick line, was how they
the paradox issue?
Yeah, the paradox issue, how they kind of wrap that up in really 2 seconds. You know what I mean? So because I've been reading a lot of articles and commentary about the show is that, you know, obviously there's a paradox issue, because if they go back in time, well, then the people in the past, 85 million years in the past, they have obviously, the people who go through time know that they went through into the past, and that they'll have to somehow make the planet Earth be terrible so they can go back into the past. So it'll be
butterfly effect.
Like, yeah, the butterfly effect. So they have to make sure that the Earth gets destroyed so they can go into the past. Blah blah blah. So, you know, continue the cycle. But they kind of eschewed that by saying they sent a probe through the portal or whatever they're calling it, and it didn't come up on their scanners in the timeline, that they're actually on a different timeline. You know what I mean? So they went back into the past, but it's on a different timeline. So we're not actually going, you know, like...
We're not
like,
going
so,
through our own past. We're going
right.
through a parallel universes type past thing.
Right. So we're now on a new timeline, so that 85 million years in the future... It wouldn't actually be a decrepit Earth. It could be something totally different, whatever they make it.
I heard Which, about that.
Yeah, I was like, you know, they almost made it a throwaway line. They had a...
It still feels like a throwaway line to me, because the sort of history about that was just... This is like the third version of this pilot. So, like, mm-hmm. the first couple ones, critics were asking that, like... Dude, if they go back in time, what would happen? Like, would they ruin the future? Would they, like, would they fix the future? Would that be kind of be the story? And it's funny, too, because even despite the throwaway line, there are mentions of equations and scientific things saying that, you know, talk about controlling the past, which will allow them to control the future, which means it feels like they're either are going to find a way to fix that, or that line was literally a throwaway line in the, like, it was just something, some bullshit that they said to the people, but they still actually might have the power to fix the future or control the future.
Right. I mean, see, that's that now we're getting to the confusing part of, okay, it's their past, which is actually on a different timeline's future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what?
Yeah, so there could be that aspect too, where it's just like these people are going to control somebody else's future, and then so
right.
they're whatever.
Right. So I mean, they set it up in the fact of there's still this is what I'm not getting too. There's still some communication with the future.
Yeah, it's
that's what I find really interesting is that
which
people,
future? That's another thing too. Are
right.
their future? Is it a new future? Like, that's another problem.
Right. It's very tricky. They're making this a very, very tricky show to figure out who. Well, obviously they're talking to the same people because they send lists through. You know what I mean? Like, these are the people we're gonna send through.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So now they have lists of people that they know. They still have all the technology that they're used to, which is, you know, and they have everything working. That's one of the other things. I was like, wait a second, how does all this equipment work?
Yeah, I think that was maybe this is just a personal narrative thing, but to be honest, I would like to see Stephen Lang from Avatar. I'd like to see his character more. Like, I like to hear that story where he was just on
he was alone building the place. Like, I feel like that is a cooler story than what we're doing here with this weird Swiss Family Robinson sort of lost in space type thing with the family. And right. I mean, because the family to me is too cookie cutter. Like, I don't care, especially about that one son. I forgot his name. The Josh character.
Josh.
Like, yeah. He's like the worst. Because he just complains all the time. And I'm like, are you kidding? Do you know how awesome? Like, first of all, you're breathing clean air. When was that going to happen any time in your entire lifetime? So, like, that alone, and then it should just come building more and more and more and more. And I was a little surprised how everybody seemed so cavalier about everything. Because, like, everybody should have been like the little girl, like, holy shit, the moon!
Right, right. No, but it's like, oh, yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah, oh, dinosaurs. Yeah. I've seen Jurassic Park like 17 yeah. times.
No big thing. Yeah. You know, meh, whatever. I mean, the only one who seems to be up to speed on anything is the daughter.
Yeah.
Who obviously they set up her character to be incredibly smart.
Because she knows math. That's how that works. If you right. know math, you're a genius.
She knows math. She knows all about dinosaurs. She read the manual. Basically, before they sent her through. Yeah. That's essentially what they're saying is she read the literature of what this new world's going to be like. She knows to drink the milk for 3 days to be acclimated to the enzymes of this planet.
Is that genius shorthand? You read the manual. I read the manual. That right, automatically right. makes my character a genius.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. If you read the manual, that's you genius. I mean, they're setting it up there for, okay, here are the love interests. Mm-hmm. Here are the bad guys. Speaking of bad guys, let's talk about the bad guys.
The others.
The others. I'm sorry, they're called the Sixers.
which worse. Makes you think, it's worse.
Yeah, which makes you think they're like, I just want to see, like, you know, the Philadelphia Sixers run out of the jungle, like, dribbling basketballs, and Allen Iverson being like, what's up?
Yeah, is there any more? Oh, the Niners, the 49ers are back over on a quadrant 17.
right. I don't know, yeah. They're I don't know if they're like the others, but they're not the other. I mean, it's they kind of summed it up. Okay, it's a branch off group. So and they're trying to figure out why, who sent them through, you know. Okay, so now there's an air of mystery of who are these people? What are they trying to do? What are they trying to show? And they're already being like real mysterious, like you already said, control the past, you can control the future, and yeah, look exactly. at these markings, and yeah. you know.
It felt like, really, once I saw them, I felt like it's too much. Because I feel like there's so many different topics you can have, and you're giving me, like, 9 different things I have to, like juggle with. Because it's like, I felt like, already, shouldn't we deal with the fact that, I guess the family aspect, maybe, because that's kind of important, because I guess we're going to see these guys every week. And, it still doesn't make any sense to me why they had the third kid. I think there's supposed to be a reason, but it doesn't. Since they cut it out here, I don't understand.
What do you mean?
No, because they're supposed to be like population control. So like they're only supposed to have 4 a family, but they have the little girl.
Sure.
But there's no justification why they have the little girl. There's supposed to be a justification somewhere in the second version of the pilot. There's like a scene where they had the kid because. They wanted to stay together or something, like they had a baby to keep the marriage, but if everything's already altered, they kept the kid, but they didn't explain. And
they said in the episode, in the pilot, they were like, it's between me and my wife, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not a big deal, but they made it a big deal early on before they went to Terra Nova, so like, I can't forget that. I can't unwatch that.
Right. Right. It happened, you know.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Happened. Wait, so you started the 2 pilots before this?
No, I wasn't that awesome. I am just a armchair quarterback when it comes to this thing. I can only watch what I can watch.
Sure.
But I can read, and I can hear what other people said. And plus, I really wanted to know. I that was a legitimate question. I was like, why is it such a big deal that they have 3 kids? And why... And like a lot of things, like that whole opening sequence, it's so incredulous that like you do have to read other stuff. Like, how did he get money, and how did he come up with this escape plan to get out of prison, and then single-handedly meet his is this family? And then pay for the kid to come out.
I mean, who knows? Maybe, you know, they'll show that in the coming, you know, episodes. They'll go back and do a flashback of how that all happened.
They can't. I mean, it doesn't even matter, even if they do.
I mean, it doesn't. It doesn't matter, and that's probably why they cut all that out.
Yeah.
Because when it boils down to it, the show's about this new planet, not about how he got out of jail.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the line was. It's like, no. It was like when the kid said that, it felt like he was talking to the audience. It was just like, no. Everything starts now. Everything right. that you just saw, it just doesn't count. The show starts now.
Yeah, he was like, "We're starting over as a family."
Yeah,
that means the viewer just forget what you just saw because everything starts now.
Yeah.
Interesting note: there's some blogs going around that if you freeze frame on Terra Nova when he finds the backpack just after he breaks out of jail and he finds the backpack with the gun and his ID and everything and he looks at the money, Obama's actually on the money. President Obama's picture is on the $1,000 bill in the future, folks.
I'm just surprised we have $1,000 bills again.
Right. Right, yeah. President Obama is on the $1,000 bill.
So that's something to look forward to.
So that's something to look forward to, folks.
But 150 years.
Right. So I thought that was interesting, you know, tidbit. Like, oh, you know what? I totally missed that because, you know, I don't have TiVo or I don't have DVR. And I watch the shows live, folks, you know. I like to feel old school and watch the shows when they air, you know, and not watch whenever I feel.
Hey, we like to go back to the old days of appointment television viewing, and we
right,
just watch.
Right.
We gotta watch them again. What are we talking about?
Don't bother me for 2 hours. I gotta watch Terranova.
Yeah, you know how insane it sounds when you say that now. Like when I tell, no, Mom, I can't talk to you right now. I'm watching a show about dinosaurs.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, I think Terra Nova's it'll be intriguing. We'll see. Well, I mean, it is the most expensive television show ever.
Oh, easily with the CGI, which
right.
Is,
so yeah. We'll see how far it goes and how much people actually buy into it. So,
if you want to see an adventure, family drama, science fiction, medical, procedural, cop show, by all means.
I tell you one thing though, the next episodes better have a little better dialogue and, you know. The action is totally ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, okay, fine. You got the CG right. down. Good. Now let's work on the characters.
Hey, you know what? We paid for these rovers. We might as well use them. Drive around. There are dinosaurs chasing you. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. They couldn't get planes? Or is that too much?
It's too much, I think.
Yeah. I think it'd be too easy. It's just like, chopper, cut to the chopper, and then airlift the kids.
So apparently in the future, it's bad air and everything, and they have, looks like they have subways and trains, but no flying machines. So I wonder what that's telling, you know, what the people, you know, the makers of the TV, of the show are saying. Like, yeah, we don't believe there are going to be jetpacks. We don't believe that everyone's going to have a hovercraft. It's not George Jetson.
Yeah, that's a problem. I don't like that future.
I don't like that. That's why they're going back and creating a new one.
I know you still, are you still watching How I Met Your Mother? This is a horrible segue, but are you still, when we get to our CBS show, so like how do you, like I want to watch, but can't, like I'm watching backwards actually. I'm watching from the syndicated shows. I'm watching seasons 1 and 2 from there. It seems,
right.
It seems so much easier to watch the show back when.
That's kind of how I got started on How I Met Your Mother was watching it through syndication, and then I finally went, all right, you know what, I'm watching this too much and I'm liking this a lot, might as well start from the beginning, and then, you know, totally ended up watching all the season. I have regretted to inform you that I have not seen this episode.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
I get too busy. So, know what, folks? When the next episode, I'll watch 2 episodes, and then I'll be all caught up, and then we can get down with all the How I Met Your Mother love. Mother love.
So, 2 Broke Girls then.
2 Broke Girls. That's gonna be 1 broke show. I don't know, man. I know I should, right? I don't know about the, yeah, I can only write headlines. I'm not very good at actually like telling, you know, detailing it, but I don't know about that show. It's more of the classic, you know, 3-camera sitcom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It, you know, it's more of like that. But I think I have to give it another episode because, you know, as we all know, and we've said this before, you know, Art and I have discussed, is that, you know, the first show's pilot episodes kind of generally are the worst.
Oh, almost always.
Almost always.
Yeah, and even if they are really good, then that's even worse because now it's like, oh, right now I have to, you know, like, now you start at such a high bar and you have to make
right. Right, the rest of the show has to live up to that pilot episode. Yeah.
You can correct me on this, but I don't think there's ever been a like stellar pilot for a sitcom.
I'm trying to think like of a show I sat down and watched and was like, this is amazing. I don't know. I think they even talk about they always hark back to like Seinfeld, and like if you ever go back and watch the first Seinfeld episode, it's not terribly funny. You know what I mean? It's funny, but you're not like, oh, this is great. Because that's the thing. It's hard to like a show when you have yet to learn about the characters and all the little nuances and all, you know, all that stuff. I mean, that takes time.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, there are some shows where I'm like, no, I'm not watching this again. That was just bad. I'm not interested in any of this. But I would give Two Broke Girls another chance. The exposition, okay, one has to work in the restaurant because her dad is like a Bernie Madoff type character. They lose all their money. So now she has no money and all her friends won't help her because she's poor. And the other one lives in an apartment with her boyfriend who she finds cheating on her, and then she kicks him out.
Yes.
So now they both, now let's live together and let's start a business. That was an interesting thing about the show. So the whole show you go through, oh, this girl's never worked in the restaurant. She's highfalutin, high society. The other girl is down to earth, working girl. She doesn't take no shit from nobody. And then it ends with, hey, we'll start a business. You can make, what was the business they're gonna make?
Cupcakes.
There we go. Cupcakes has been a hot thing. I think this is unfortunately coming out the tail end of the big cupcake craze of the past, you know, 3 to 5 years. But which is that's true. More cupcake places have spawned up around giant cities than probably anything else. You know, cupcake and sweet shops. But okay, they're gonna make cupcakes, and Kate Denning's character, she's gonna make the cupcakes, and the other girl, she's the business side. You know, she's gonna do the business side of it.
Yes.
And then it ends with a counter. Ding. This is how much money they have. It was like $200 and whatever.
Yeah.
Now that's something I like. That was like a cool little thing that it's funny, but that's a CBS type of show type of thing. If you know what I mean? Like,
no, that's their brand. Like, I feel like,
right. That's the running gag part of the show. That's going to keep you interested. So now, you know, you might not like the episode, but now it gives you a running total of what their goal is. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, that's probably going to add some humor into the episodes. And that's kind of what I liked. That's what I liked about the episode.
No, I
liked
agree.
Something. Can you believe it?
Well, here's my thing about this show. The last, like, 2+ minutes, I want to see that show. It established a great premise. You know, they're broke girls, but they're going to set up a business. And Beth Beers is her character, Caroline, I want to say. I thought whatever thing she was doing, Paris Hilton, Rich Girl thing she was doing, like, that dissipated. Because her business side and her intellect and her passion through that aspect, I thought, like, wow, that you have yourself a character here. And I guess, you know, it was just, they're going to teach, it's Laverne and Shirley, whatever. They're going to teach each other things and one person's weakness will be another person's strength and vice versa, and then
sure.
And yeah, so like that show seems great. It's just the other stuff, like the opening whatever 20 or so minutes didn't work for me. And I understand, I mean, going more in depth of like how comedy pilots work and everything, it's just, it's hard for people to understand like what you're doing. Like the powers that be, they don't know how the cast is going to work. They don't know how the actors' beats and how they're going to perform the lines and the writing styles and everything, like all that stuff. And that's pretty much what I was going for with the comedy pilot little
tangent of mine, because it's you don't really expect anything. Like, I'm still into the series, and I'm probably gonna watch. I'm definitely gonna DVR it and watch it whenever. Like, even I might even pile it on to watch before the Thursday night comedies or something, just to kind of add on to it, because I did think it can be something. Like, that's when we get past, I think, I want to see what this, once mid-season starts, I want to see how the show performs. Like, I want to see the shifts or something. But right now, it's good. I think they have some good actresses. They're funny, and they're likable, and they have a chemistry that makes you want to watch. And I like that Kat Dennings is getting a steady paycheck week after week. There's highlights. It's just the other stuff that's hard. It's you have to get out of that restaurant. That restaurant is horrible. Why would anybody eat there? It's a mess. The characters in said restaurant they're stereotypes. Every single one of them. It's horrible. But I'm hoping, like the counter thing, I'm hoping they make enough money to get out of the restaurant and they can do something else or something like that. Because I feel like that's not the aspect of the show. The aspect of the show, the premise of the show, ultimately, is these two girls making money to do whatever.
Right.
So, and they could do that any job anywhere if they work out whatever jobs that they're going to do. Because, you know.
But the restaurant has the funny Russian guy who hits on them.
Is the funny Russian guy, and
how can you and the
boss
is cashier, right?
Oh god, the boss.
That show, that restaurant is just like stereotypes and just being racist all in one place. You got the Russian guy who like boobs, eh? How are you doing? Let me see your ass, right? And then you have Asian guy who's very Asian, yeah. Dress no good, you know, like so bad. And then you got the, you know, I'm chilling black guy working the cashier.
It's like, what is this, a sketch?
Right, I just walked into a joke. What is this?
I just walked into. That's what it feels like. But like I said, the show lives and dies on the leads, and I think the leads are pretty much the thing. That's the only thing that's keeping this heartbeat still going. So yay. I think we're both gonna watch, right?
I'm still gonna watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see how it goes through episode two, maybe even episode three, but we have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Well, then that kicks it over to our other leading lady show is The New Girl.
Yes.
What did you think of it?
I like Zooey Deschanel. She's nice and she's cute and. She has, let's say, 80% of her movies are pretty good. Like, I haven't seen that one movie. Failure to Launch, I think, is the one she did. The rom-com. And there's, like, a couple others. But.
Please don't ever say rom-com again.
Oh, God. Romantic comedy? Or just any variation?
Okay. Yeah, let's just say romantic comedy.
Okay,
that's not...
fine. So. Yeah. This is Zooey cranked up to like the ump degree.
Right.
Like to the point where it's almost like it's like 100% Zooey Deschanel concentrated, or it's not even that. I don't even think Zooey Deschanel is that kind of person. She's just cranking it up because that's the perception in which we think of when we think of the manic pixie dream girl that is Zooey Deschanel in all of her roles. And that's what New Girl is. New Girl is, it's Zooey singing and being cute and quirky, but she's cranking it up. And I feel like, I don't want it cranked up. I don't want, like, if that Zooey Deschanel just came at me full force like a freight train, I don't think I can handle it.
Right. I mean, basically what I say is, this Zooey goes to 11.
Yes, like, exactly.
She is, yeah, she's way over cranked. And I'll say, because the second episode just aired, and I did watch the second episode, it kind of has a different feel than the pilot, which kind of threw me back a little, because I was like ready to hate it and be like, I'm done, totally done with this show, turning it off, never watching it. But then I saw it and I went, you know what, it's a little different. It feels different. I don't know if it was shot with more lights or, you know, because basically they had to reshoot it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? After they made the cast change, basically they have to almost reshoot everything.
Yeah.
Essentially. So
did any of this new, let's say, energy allow the show to be better? Or did it feel too weird with the new character and the introduction of a new character and all that stuff?
It wasn't really, in the show they kind of make the new character, his name's Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of made me think of Ghostbusters.
No, I understand. I see where you're
going. Right. See where I'm going?
Yeah.
They kind of just filled it in as coach left. He got a job or he moved somewhere, and Winston used to live here. And before, like, Coach was the new roommate, or, like, whoever was the third roommate. Winston was a guy who used to live there, and then, you know, Schmidt, moves, you know, whatever, Schmidt or Schlitz or Schmidt. I think it's Schmidt. Before one of those guys moved in. You know what I mean? So,
okay.
So they're saying he was a basketball player in Europe. He played in Europe for a while, and he moved back to the States. And so it's like, oh, you know, we have our apartment back. Oh, cool. I can move back in. So that's kind of how they made the casting change. They, you know, again, they summed it up in about 30 seconds to a minute of why there's a new black guy on the show, essentially, you know. And he kind of works where he's not all like, yeah, buddies, yeah, we're hanging out. He's kind of like, oh, yeah, hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah. Like, who the hell is this girl? Why, you know, what's she doing here?
Yeah.
So he's kind of got the dynamic of... I know you guys, I'm kind of your friends, I'm not really your friends, I don't really know this girl, why are you guys all like, I don't know, not being nice to her, but like really friendly to her, didn't she just move in type of thing? He's got this weird dynamic, but he comes around in the episode, and he kind of fits in perfectly with the group, as well they wanted him to.
Okay.
So he's not like an oddball, you know what I mean? He's not like... this guy doesn't really fit, but she's still, Zoe's still, you know, her character's still having, you know, problems. I broke up with my boyfriend, still doing one of those things. I don't know. This episode just, it felt different, and it kind of gave me new life into going, oh, you know what? I'll watch the third one now, you know, to see where it goes. And I think they toned down a little bit of I think that Schmidt's character is like his, hey bro, what's happening? I'm fly like that, you know.
The douchebag.
Yeah, he's still a little douchey. Actually, he's still a lot douchey, but they turned it down a lot. You know
he must have ran out of money for that douchebag joke.
Exactly. That didn't even make it up, and I think they kind of did away with that joke. I know that was kind of the funny joke. But I think because they turned down his douchebagginess that, you know, they did away with the jar. But I don't know. I guess you'll have to watch it. And let me know what you think, so.
Okay. So let me ask some rhetorical, non-rhetorical questions. So why do you think, since they had the time to recast the whole thing and reshoot the whole thing with this new guy, Lamar Morris, why do you think they just kept the Damon Wayans Jr. as coach? Like, well, that's the thing that kind of threw me, I guess, I guess logistically, because it just, like, you could have reshot. I mean, there was a huge gap from when they shot the pilot to Damon Wayans Jr. getting picked up to do happy endings.
Uh-huh.
So you could have changed everything. Like, you could have, because you obviously had to get a new guy. He can't do it anymore. I was hoping he could do both, but, you know, help a brother out or whatever. But so you got to get another
two
guy.
Two shows on television? Wow.
This guy.
Yeah. He's no Drew Carey.
I don't think they'll ever, like, Ryan Seacrest is going to be the only person doing multiple shows on multiple networks. But anyway. Right. So, you had, essentially, you had a while to do a new pilot, to change the marketing. I think that was the funny thing, because it took them forever to change the poster of the new girl, because it was Damon Wayans Jr.'s for forever, even when the show was about to start. So I'm like, you can't change the guy, man.
Maybe, but, I don't know, maybe they felt like, you know what, we really like this pilot, and we really want people to see this particular pilot, so we don't have to reshoot an episode, plus it saves you money, so we don't have to reshoot this episode all over again.
We'll just
reshoot this other, you know, we've only shot two other episodes, you know, however far they've gone, you know what I mean, when I got picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we only shot two, like, did they shoot any episodes before he got picked up for Happy Endings?
I don't think so, because usually what they do is they shoot the pilot. I mean, that's why I think that's how you shoot multiple pilots. I mean, that's how it works, and then right. they shelve them, and then
so maybe
shoot, yeah.
So maybe they didn't want to reshoot, do a whole another reshoot of a pilot.
Yeah.
Maybe they're like, we already shot this one. Instead of reshooting this episode and sending it out there, let's just write it in. This is why there's a new guy here. Bam, done. We just saved, $200,000 not shooting that one episode. Cool. Wipe your hands. Done.
I suppose. I mean, and I guess that's what led them into the decision of just having this roommate leave and then adding a new roommate. As opposed to just having him be coach, like, just replace him completely, and then just, this guy's now coach,
he's a different guy.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah,
which was interesting, and I, you know what? To be fairly honest, this is probably kind of retarded me saying this, but every week I wanted a different black guy. just a row, and they never comment on it.
New black guy, yeah.
New another coach.
Right. So it's almost like a Doctor Who, but
Doctor Who a week.
but not saying that it's some kind of disease and he's changing, or he's a time.
Nobody
shifter.
Comments because if right. they did, that would make them racist.
Right. Oh my God! I think you just wrote a show, Art. That's funny. Hey, isn't that the same? What are you, racist? What do you think the all black guys look alike?
Oh,
what are you,
man, racist? Dude, that would have been the greatest running plot of the first season, because it would have just been at the end. Coach shows up, and then did you guys not realize that I changed black guys 21 times just for jokes, just to fuck you? Oh, now I'm out for real.
now I'm gone. You guys are racist.
Oh, man.
The honkies.
I write my own shows here.
Right, yeah, you do. But yeah, I'll watch the show again. It's interesting. It's a light. It's nothing. Again, it's nothing like too heavy, and it's a little weird. But in the second episode, Zoe's a little turned down. Tuned down, I should say.
They dealt it down to 9.
Right, yeah, they got it down. I think they got it down to like 7.5, 8. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's still interesting, but it's not like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I mean that was the ultimate thing for me, because I felt Damon Wayans Jr. That's why I love watching Happy Endings, because I think he's a great character on that. He's mm-hmm. doing a great job on that. As to say, here I think his coach character was he was kind of deluding Zoe, you know, because like I said, the 100% concentration of Zoe, I think, is way too strong. She needs to be watered down a little bit, and sort of his sour tone made me, like, I thought he was the strongest part of one of the show. Like, I mean, besides Zoe, of course. I mean, it's Zoe Deschanel, so, and you can replace anybody, to be fairly honest, but I did feel that losing Damon Wayans Jr. was really a big loss. But I will check out the second episode and sequential episodes for a little bit just to see how the show will progress.
All right, cool.
And so...
I don't know where to go from this.
Let's go to Wednesday, because I like the sitcom thing we're doing. And NBC is starting to do their own... Like, they want another comedy night. So, and they want to kind of stop ABC from taking... their comedy night, so that they had two shows, Up All Night and Free Agents, and Did you watch any of those, or should we just move on?
I saw part of Free Agents. I didn't watch up all night. I heard bad things from some people. So
up all night doesn't work for me. I think it may be because I'm not married or I don't have a kid, and it, like I like the aspect of it, and I like Will Arnett not being crazy Will Arnett from like Arrested Development. He's playing more towards his actual real life experiences, but but you know, I guess it doesn't translate. Free Agents. A little bit better, like the office romance stuff and the whole finding love through sex and then kind of going backwards or something, which is like, you know, not the normal. Oh, we slept together and now maybe we could date, or how does this work sort of thing. That
right.
Free Agents.
What are we
kinda
supposed to do? Right.
Yeah, that's pretty much the show in a nutshell. And I think it's one of those shows that, like, I like the leads. I mean, I like Catherine Hahn has been kicking ass in comedies for years. Anchorman and pretty much like the same creative team who does those movies, like Anchorman, Talladega Nights, and Step Brothers. Step Brothers is probably her breakout role that really brought the comedy stuff together. So
wasn't she also in Win a Date with Tad Hamilton?
Yes, she was.
Yeah, thought I recognized her.
Bartender. I don't know why I know that. I think
right, me either. Let's move on.
Too many late nights. Yeah. So it's okay.
I mean, I
what
saw.
You saw.
I you know I like Hank. Isn't that Hank Azaria?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. He was okay. He was doing good. The little receptionist there, who's I always forget her name.
Natasha Lee.
What was her name?
The actress's name.
Natasha
Leggero. Natasha. Yeah.
I actually saw her do stand up, and she was remarkably. She was really really funny. I kind of like her character. You know, she's very quippy and snide, very snide. I don't know, that show had a lot of, bro, what's happening?
Yeah. Oh, I hate those guys.
And it kind of totally threw me off. And with, I'm going, what's up with all the bro stuff? I think people are taking the whole, like, you know, fucking
Hangover or whatever.
Hangover mixed with Jersey Shore mixed in with just retardedness and making characters. Like, I don't know anybody. Honestly, I would never hang out with anybody who talked like that.
Why?
What's
would
up?
You?
Yeah, awesome, brah, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like, if you have to hang out with this guy, you know, because he's a coworker, I felt like they should have played that up more. It's just like, we don't want to hang out with you. It's just kind of stuck because of board meetings or whatever.
Yeah. So I mean, that's I watched some of it. I turned the chat. I was like, I'm kind of not feeling this. And I think I got through about 30 seconds of Up All Night, and I went, well, I'm sorry. I was like, I felt bad because Christina Applegate, she's trying to get on these TV shows. You know, she had you know, Susan Who or Susan
Samantha.
What Samantha Who? Yeah, there you go.
Susan.
See,
but it's it's Emmy Award winner. What's her name? You know, Mike and Molly.
Yeah, I know, but that was
Melissa McCarthy, yeah.
Of course she did Mike and Molly, you know, and she was actually very funny on that show. So, but that show lasted, I don't know, like 2 seasons, I think.
Well, the problem that I have with Up All Night, Bridesmaids, because Bridesmaids brought Maya Rudolph back, and Maya Rudolph, I like Maya Rudolph, especially in Bridesmaids, but she's doing like an SNL character, and it's hurting the show. Like I you know, if you can just watch the Domestic Family stuff, perfect show. Same thing I kind of feel about Free Agents. If you can just watch this couple try to navigate a professional and private life, that would be a good show. But then you have these like other like rings around the circle, just kind of like trying to come in like that bro guy, and I can't stand it. It's like I guess to even extend this further, it's kind of like Zooey Deschanel. If you love Zooey Deschanel, then you can watch New Girl, fine. But if you can't take anything else, then it's a hard sell.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely a hard sell for me. Forget it.
So, did you like anything that came out at all for, you know, like Thursday? I mean, sorry, Thursday. Why am I jumping to Thursday? We still got the new stuff that came out, like Modern Family. It's back. Did you watch the premiere?
Yes, I did watch the premiere.
Oh, both episodes, I forgot, because it's that Dude Ranch episode, which I didn't really kind of like, just because I felt like, why are you guys going to a Dude Ranch? I actually like it more when they're in their own element. I just feel like it's too gimmicky, I guess it felt like to me.
Right. No, it definitely was, and I was kind of like, man, you know, why isn't this supposed to be, like episode 4 or 5? Like, give me a couple regular episodes before you send them somewhere and do something weird. You know?
Yeah.
Theme it all up. I don't know. It was still funny. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the show's amazing. So I was just kind of like, I was just put off by that. This is the season opener. Come on.
Oh, the Gloria subplot killed me, because I'm like, really? That's right. Funny. She's deaf and she's talking loud. Hilarious, really, guys.
Right. Right.
It's times like that where I'm like, you guys can, like, the second episode, far superior. I liked the twists and turns from trying to figure out that Claire's always right and understanding why she's always right, and she gets it from her father, and that awesome scene. More writing like that, yes.
More, yeah. That's why those writers have won in the past. So do it that. Don't change. Don't try to be good all. I know they want to get out there, but, you know, that's why, and be like, ooh, this is something new. I like this. Ooh. No. Give the people what they want. Because when you do other stuff, it makes them feel stupid. And people don't like to feel stupid. They like to see the same old stuff over and over again.
Is that a quote for something?
That's why we watch TV. So we can feel smart.
I do feel smarter talking about television. It's a superiority complex. I think you've stumbled onto something. Or why?
I know. I learned this long ago.
So before we put this to bed, let's talk about what we love on Thursday night, which is NBC comedies. Everything came back, like Community, and it was awesome.
Community is awesome. 30 Rock.
Yes.
Did you watch 30 Rock? I thought that was awesome.
It was okay. I'm not tepid, but I'm just sort of like, I shrug my shoulders now when I watch 30 Rock. I'm like, it's okay. It was a weird block too, because it was the 30 Rock and Whitney sort of.
Right.
And I'm like, ooh.
I asked, did you watch Whitney? I watched Whitney.
I did. I watched Whitney. I taped it and watched it, or I DVR'd it and watched it later, because I felt like, you know what? I'm going to watch Person of Interest.
Ooh.
Because I felt, because remember, I've been dropping out of 30 Rock. So I felt like, let me start with something new, start with something fresh. I guess we could talk about that real quick. Person of Interest with Ben Linus and Jesus Fighting Crime.
Ben Linus, Jesus Fighting Crime.
How'd you feel about the giant machine that looks up social security numbers to find crime?
Yeah, that actually, I didn't watch Persons of Interest, so this is the part where art got me covered.
Okay.
Because I was busy watching NBC.
That's fine. real quick,
so they have a machine that looks up social security numbers?
Yeah, I mean, it's like this weird Patriot machine that helps you fight crime, and I felt like I don't like what? Is this good? Is this? I know new NYC ever since 9/11 has a system like that. They've sort of adopted this huge surveillance system with sound and video and all that stuff that doesn't really rival what the UK has, but it's up there. And this feels like a more magic box law sort of situation where that, which is like, it's to the umpteenth degree where it's like, it can find crime, and it can find bad guys, and it can find this. And I know it's evocative of the times, but I just felt like, I don't know, I can't get behind that machine. I just felt like, in all honesty, it should have just been Ben Linus calls Jim Caviezel up every week to fight crime, or something simpler than a machine that has everybody's social security numbers. And nobody's talking about Taraji P. Henson. And she's going to be the thing that saves the show. She's going to be she's the heartbeat. She's the thorough line of the show. I mean, first of all, come on, Oscar nominated? Kind of important. but nobody's really thinking about her. I mean, that's the first problem. The second problem is, I guess it's the show's trying to have its cake and eat it too, with just like two white guys fight crime and then nobody else. But she's important. I think she brings a sense of humanity to the thing, because Caviezel, since something really bad happened to him, he's very stoic and he's just, you know, he just kicks ass and fights crime. Ben Linus, Michael Emerson, I'm gonna finally say your name. Something bad happened to him too, and he came up with this machine to help fight crime. So it's like brains, brawn, but no heart and soul. And I need to watch more to see if Henson does that, but till then, there really is no point. So let's hop back to the comedies and feel better.
Comedy.
Did you watch Whitney? Yeah, so I watched
I just watched Whitney, and I actually thought it was kind of funny. And I know I got kind of blasted by a couple of people who wanted to probably pelt me with stones, but
it's better than Ringer. It's not the worst show on television, so
right. I don't know. It was weird. It was like I had no hope for the show, I guess, going into it. I was like, because I'm inundated. There are posters all over Los Angeles. There's like three billboards right next to each other. They're all different, actually, you know, with all different sayings. There are posters all over, you know, construction walls. And they're just everywhere. I'm completely inundated by it. And I was like, oh man, this show is probably gonna be terrible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably gonna be like Chelsea Handley's, you know, show that she had. Didn't she have like a sitcom or something?
It's coming out mid-season.
Oh, it's coming out. Oh, there we go. That's
good. Look forward to that. Yeah.
Wow, look at that. I just blew up a show before it even came on. But we do that all the time though. But Whitney was just like, okay, let me put this on. I'll watch it. I'll give it the first episode, and then I found myself going, yeah, that's funny. Oh, you know, like I'm not relating, but she has this weird, very, very weird brand. I don't know, not brand of comedy. I'm gonna say that she has this weird
take on
mix.
Comedy?
Yeah, take on things. She's like a mix between, I'd say, like a Sarah Silverman, Chelsea Handley, and then I'm trying to think of a straight up, just like straight comedian, who just happens to be fun. I don't know. I thought it was very funny. The characters, her boyfriend in the show, he plays a very good, straight guy. You know, the straight guy, not the goofy one. She's the goofy one. He plays just like the straight guy, and very dry, doubt, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very dry humor.
He looks like he's been in a relationship for, they say, 5 years. I feel like 15.
But like every joke, like each line where, you know, it's supposed to be like a good punchline, he just keeps a straight face when he says it, and it's really funny. So in that respect, I don't know. I really like the show. I'll watch it again.
I don't know what's up with the sitcoms nowadays. I mean, and by that I mean multi-camera sitcoms, like studio audience sitcoms, because they all feel like somebody grabbed them from like an old vault that like 10, 15 years ago or something, and they're coming out. Because Whitney feels like something I would watch in 96 or something, like when I'm just like, I'm sneaking on, watching the TV, waiting for news radio or something to watch. That's what it feels like. That's what Whitney feels like. That's what Two Broke Girls feels like. I don't know what the sensibility is when it comes to making those types of pilots, but that is a little weird. That's the first thing I like to bring up. The second thing I like to bring up is I liked Whitney Cummings. I hate to say past tense, but it kind of is. Like I liked her on The Roast. I liked her comedy. I liked her specials, all that stuff. We're not seeing that Whitney on this show. We're seeing fragments of it, but we're not getting the full picture. And I guess you have to dilute yourself, I suppose, for network television. But at the same time, by diluting herself, it doesn't feel as authentic as I really want it to be. Because she's not even a comedian; she's a photographer. So,
right.
So she's like kind of constructing herself as this alternate person. So she has to be somebody else, and it kind of hurts, really. I do like aspects of it. I do like that this is a show about a couple that's been together for a while. There's not too many shows doing that. We're like, they're not going to get married, and they don't want to get married, and they're just kind of seeing how they're going. And the big highlight, the whole nurse's outfit role-playing scene, I think, is the best scene in the show, just because I like how they played it, because it wasn't just straightforward and stuff, and she made him fill out medical forms and stuff. Like, who does that? So, like, it worked. If the show keeps doing stuff like that, and changes conventions, then it's easier for me to recommend. Like, pretty much, I might as well just admit it now, since I love TV so much, and since I still have free time, I will essentially watch every single one of these shows until I cannot anymore. But at the same time, as I keep watching, I want the shows to get better. I want the shows to understand that, I guess not the out-of-date jokes or anything, but like I want it to evolve as I keep watching. Like, oh, Whitney's getting better. They realize that they did something wrong, so they're error correcting and stuff like that. There are rooms for improvement, and I'm okay with that.
Well, I like it, so I'll see what the second episode is.
Yeah, but you liked Outsource, which isn't really a slam, but I'm just saying.
Oh, come on, man. Outsource was awesome.
I told you about the movie it's based on. The movie that it's based on is a far superior short forms of storytelling instead of the way it was before and how it's so broad. I still can't get behind how broad it was in the beginning. Don't eat the food. It gives you really bad diarrhea. Oh, my God. Really? Really? Really?
All right.
Yeah, try to defend that one.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. You like Pitbull or whatever that show is. Terriers. Sucker.
Yeah. Well, if you watched it, then you feel the same way. Anyway, I love that we're attacking each other for canceled shows. And plus, you have way more ammunition than I do. You can pretty much, there's like a good handful that just came out last year that you could have, like, crucified me with. But
Lone Star.
I didn't like Lone Star. I like the pilot of Lone Star. I thought the pilot of Lone Star was good.
You loved it.
I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad that I only watched the pilot of Lone Star. It was one of those things. You know what it would have been like? If I could just watch the pilot of Walking Dead. If Walking Dead just didn't. If I didn't keep watching those other episodes, I'd be fine.
Right. You would be.
I think we all would be as a nation.
Sure.
But anyway, so we talked about a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff that came out. More stuff is coming out, which is surprising. There's a little things there trickling out, so we will probably try to get some of those down next week.
Okay. Cool.
And I think, as always, we'll do some color commentary on the race and then see what's going on in a little place called the Boardwalk.
The Boardwalk.
But barring that, I think we should, like I said before, we should just put this to bed.
Right.
Exactly. So anyway, thanks for listening. And Jesus Christ, I can't even remember how to end these things.
Right. But if you have any questions, comments, concerns,
thank you.
Tell us we suck, you want to tell us and you want to praise us, you want us to talk about a certain TV show that maybe we don't cover, maybe we've
or all three.
all three. Tell us you want us to talk about what you'd want us to watch it so we can tell you what you think.
The TV division.
We tell you what to think here.
Yes, yeah.
What's that email?
It is thetvdivision@gmail.com.
Please, like, we love getting all the mail you guys send us, so send us more. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm Art, that was Seth, and as always, we're saying, sign off.
All right. Bow away your